Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can come together and praise you, look into your word, and see the things you would teach us. And so, Lord, we give all honor to you. And so I just pray, you know, a blessing on this service. And I, too, lift up, you know, all the folks in Haiti and, you know, just what a mess that is. And we just pray that you would intervene and know that pastors that are there and, you know, that you do have a witness there. And I just pray that you move in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just, I ask you to just anoint me with the Spirit. And I speak words of the Spirit, and that pray, God, that each heart would be open to receive from you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to kind of deviate a little bit this morning. As I was praying for Haiti, it just something came to mind. And of course, as Linda has told me, I don't have to say everything that comes to mind. Okay. But I do want to share this with you. We had one of my very first encounters with someone who would just could hear the Lord and just had a powerful relationship with God. And just he'd share how he came to know the Lord and how he had would walk miles and miles from village to village sharing the gospel. He had 10 kids. He adopted 10 more kids, and all 20 kids went into the ministry. Now, how many of you have kids? You know, you think, you just pray they make 16. I mean, it's like, Lord, you know. But he's from Haiti. He's from Haiti. And he was one of the first people I ever met. And he gave his testimony, which to me was the most bizarre. And he lived in a village, just a village. Didn't have a car or anything. He gave me one of the most bizarre testimonies I ever heard in my life. And, you know, without trying to repeat it, I mean, kind of summer, it's like Jesus appeared to him, gave him the gospel, and he believed. And, you know, he would do things like this. He's happy. He and his wife are just loving, just happy. And like typical people I would run across, they would tell me things like one word, like, don't you know? No, I don't know. But they'd say it again, like, you dummy, don't you know? And they didn't say you dummy, but I just felt like that's what they were prefacing with. And he said, oh, just serve Jesus. Just do what Jesus tells you. I go village to village to village, and Jesus tells me to do things. And I say, Jesus, I don't have any money, you know. And Jesus, I'm just telling you to do this. You just do this. You don't need money. You just do this. And so he'd go from village to village. And this is in Haiti. And he said, I'd share with the people. And they say, we don't have money. He says, I don't either. You have to suffer with me. I mean, what a wonderful staff meeting. You know, you have to suffer with me. And so I go to village and village and anoint elders and say, you have to suffer with me. And this is in Haiti now. All right. And so he would say, I asked the Lord, and he tells me what to do. Yes, his wife was there. Yes, yes, he tells me. Yes, you know, and they'd hold hands. Yes, God tells us, you know. And I thought, what in the world are these craziest people I ever saw in my life, you know? And like, and so I'd ask him, I said, well, what do you mean the Lord tells you? He goes, you know. That's what he said. How's the Lord tell you? He goes, you know. And I'm like, no, I don't know nothing about what you're talking about. Yeah. And he would say, every January 1st, he would read the Bible, stay up all night, read the Bible, and pray. And then every January 1st, God would tell him what to do the coming year. And then that's what he did. And I says, well, how did he tell you? He goes, you know. You know. So the reason I say that, Haiti's a mess. I mean, if you look at, but God's got people in Haiti. He got people in Haiti. And what he's doing was, I was at a Dove conference, and this was probably 19, good grief, I don't know, just 30 some odd years ago, I don't know, it's a long time when I met him. And it was just bizarre. It was just kind of bizarre. But they had a meeting, a conference at Dove, and they had some people from Haiti. So I asked the guy, I said, "Do you know Pastor Lucian?" "Oh yeah, I know Pastor Lucian." I said, "He's still..." "Oh yeah, he's healthy, he's doing good. He's still up in the mountains preaching the gospel." I said, "Wow." Same guy. And then Pastor Minner went to Haiti with some people last year, 2 or 3 years ago. And so when he landed, he met, and Pastor Lucian met him, you know. And he said, "I'm going to show you something." And so he took him up into a schoolhouse. He says, "This is the schoolhouse you built for us 30 years ago. See, So Pastor Murphy totally forgot, but this is a schoolhouse you bought for us 30 years ago. And he said, "Pastor Lucian," he said, "the same one." Now, he since then, the last couple of years, he went to be with the Lord like that. But anyway, it's like you look at Haiti. I mean, this, we can incorporate this into our lives. You look at Haiti and you look at it on television, and that place is a mess. And if you know, they don't have any infrastructure. The government has always been crazy, you know, and then abusive, and you can't send the money because the officials take it and spend it on themselves. I mean, it's a wreck. But some of the most, two or three of the most powerful people I ever met in the Lord from Haiti. And they're in the mountains. You know, well, they don't have any money, you know. Well, the answer is, I have to suffer and you suffer with me. That's the message. You suffer with me. You do what Jesus says. You just suffer with me. So that's a real life story. And again, I was really young in the Lord when I met them. And the only thing is, I walked away as I was really impressed with them. And I was really impressed that God spoke to them. And I was really concerned that God wasn't telling me nothing. It's like, gosh, I don't know where they are at, but I'm not there. I'm not there. And again, 10 kids, adopted 10, and the 20 are in the ministry in Haiti. So just know God's working. Just know God. Don't get caught up in the nonsense, because the nonsense is there. But within that nonsense, God is doing a mighty work. And he's doing a mighty work anywhere. I just happen to know about this one. I just happen to know about this one. So let's look in the scriptures, and we'll see what God has to teach us in his word. Remember too what he said. He said, "I get the Bible and I read the Bible every January 1st. I stay up all night, read the word, pray, and God tells me what to do for the coming year." I think that probably would be good for all of us. You know, that'd be good for all. So let's look at this verse. This morning, Gospel of John says this, John 5:39. "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me." Now, the title to this message is "Look for Jesus." Okay, look for Jesus, meaning look for Jesus in the scriptures. And what's interesting, when you look at this context of this whole book of John, how it's presented, and we've talked about it before, it comes and it pretty much shows Jesus' credentials, you know, who he is, and he really makes a big point, so you have the written record of it. And so you see Jesus coming onto the scene. Now, I mean, at this time, about chapter 5, I mean, he's moving out. He's smoking, okay? I mean, Jesus is really moving out, doing all sorts of miracles and stuff. And so everybody's like, "Oh, my goodness." You know, so he is really bursting upon the scene, onto the scene, and people are trying to figure out who he is. Is he's preaching? And as we've seen, and as we will continue to see. Now, what's interesting here, so that's how he's coming onto the scene. He's like, Jesus, like, wow. But what he does, and I think it's very, very interesting, in everything he's doing that manifests God on this earth, he comes to this point, and when he substantiates who he is, he goes to the scripture. It's really important. Oh, I do it, heal and see people come to know the Lord and this. Well, okay, but why don't we do what Jesus did and prove him through the scripture first. Prove him through the scripture. Healing doesn't save anybody. Jesus saves people. In fact, Jesus showed that he healed this one guy. We already read about him. He just walks off. Guy doesn't even know who he is. They said, "Who? How'd you?" He said, "I don't know. Man, this guy did it, you know." And he says, "Well, how can you do it?" I don't know who he is. See? So the healing didn't get this guy into heaven. It just healed him. But then, you know, God used it in other different ways. So what you see here, the point I want to make, when Jesus is substantiating who he is, he refers to the scriptures. He goes, and you see what he says here. You search the scriptures. You think they have eternal life. They speak about me. That's what he told them. So he makes a point about the scriptures. Then what we see, so interesting, and we see how Jesus approaches this, and he is telling the religious, he's not denying that the religious leaders study the scriptures. He's denying that the religious leaders missed the point. He's telling them, you missed the point. You're studying like that, but you missed the point. He didn't say, you know, like, I mean, I'm saying, he's going, you're studying the scripture, it's a waste of time. It's just a waste of time what you're doing. That's what he told them. See, there's one place, I see the disciples, he said something like that, and the disciples go, they go, Jesus, you know, you really upset them. You know, because they were recognizing, I don't know what's going on, but you're really making these folks mad, you know. And but what Jesus was doing is not trying to make them mad or anything. He's just telling the truth. Study the scriptures. You think you have eternal life, you know, but they speak about me. The scriptures are about Jesus, are about Jesus. Now, so what it means that when they studied the scriptures, they missed the main point of the scriptures, and they didn't see Jesus is Messiah and the Christ. They didn't see that. They didn't see that in their reading. So as a note, this verse stands as a warning to all of us or any of us who study the scriptures. Any of us who study the scriptures. We need to look for Jesus because the scriptures speak about Jesus. That's why we study the scriptures. People say, it's great literature. I mean, I heard people, oh, that's great literature, but who cares? I mean, that's, who cares? Jesus doesn't care that it's great literature, you know? Well, it has some historical value. Okay, that's good. That's not the point. That's not the point, you know? And so what God is, you read it for a purpose, and you read it to see Jesus. Now, this is what Jesus is telling the religious leaders. He's telling them that. And till you read scripture, he did make them mad. He did really upset them. In fact, you read the scripture, and Jesus was just, you know, he's so kind and pleasant to all these people, and except the religious leaders. They come up. He just, you missed it. Not only did you missed it, you're leading everybody astray. I mean, without doubt. You know, and so, and two, this all, making a point, what they took pride in, that they were leading the people astray. And they would talk about these Pharisees and stuff, and these people, they really were educated. Jewish people, back in the time of Jesus, were an educated group of people. They were an educated group of people. And so they had that going for them, and they knew the scripture. And it would say that, you know, people would say that the Pharisees would have 3/4 of the Old Testament memory. They had it memorized. You know, they knew. They knew the scripture. I always liked this one that Herod, you know, when Christ was born, and they knew that, okay, this all this turmoil is about this baby being born. He's Messiah. He says, get the Pharisees here. So they come walking in. He says, hey, where's this Messiah supposed to be born? They go, Bethlehem. They didn't go look it up. They knew. You see what I'm saying? They knew scriptures. They just couldn't find Jesus. They're smart people. You know, they memorize the scripture. And it's like, hey, where's this Messiah? People are, okay, I'm going to go look it up. We'll research it. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Yeah. Tip of the tongue, Bethlehem. So this is who these people were. This is who Jesus is talking to. And he just was kind of blunt with them. So there's a lesson for us here. There's a lesson for us here. Big lesson. When we read the scriptures, we need to look for Jesus. All right? If you want to go study on the literature a bit, more power to you. If you want to tie it into history, more. But as far as Jesus is concerned, what you're supposed to find in the scripture is Jesus. We need to look for Jesus. And that's what God's telling them. You study the scripture, God bless you, love you. It's not what he said. They talk about me. They talk about me. Now, he goes on to say when Jesus said these words right here, the New Testament did not exist. Okay? When he said this, we'll go to Matthew and Ephesians. No, they didn't exist. What existed? The Old Testament. So what he's saying? You study the Old Testament, and the Old Testament speaks of me. New Testament hadn't even been written yet. See? It's the Old Testament speaks of him. Now, when Jesus said these words, we know he's specifically talking about the Old Testament. And so we come back to the thing I've shared before, that you have the Old Testament, but the Scriptures is the unfolding, revealing of Jesus. That's what the Bible is. It's the unfolding, the revealing revelation, the unfolding revelation of Jesus, and likewise the redemption of man. That's why we have the Bible. Period. Do whatever you want to with it, but that's why we have the Bible. Get the revelation of Jesus and revelation of redemption of man. It's for no other reason. None. Now, so when you look at this, we need to say, gosh, you look at the Old Testament. You need to see Jesus in the Old Testament. Now, what he's done, he has already, in John, given us an example of this. He's already given us an example of this. Now, I'm messing with you a little bit. Do you remember what it is? He already gave us an Old Testament verse. He said, this speaks to me. You don't know it, but it speaks to me. Y'all remember what it is? It's Numbers 21:9. They put the bronze snake upon the pole. He said, and that's, now he's talking to the religious leaders. He goes, you put the bronze snake on a pole. Speaks of me. So he told them. And what he also said to them, you missed it. And what it is, they missed it. They didn't understand it. Now, so he gave us an example. He said, this is what you do. Speak of me. For example, a bronze snake on a pole. That's me. What about all this other stuff? Good explanation of all sorts of things. That's not what it's about. This is me. See, that's what he's saying. Now, so he's just continuing along with that line of thinking. And what we could do this morning, and there's a piece of me that would love to do it. but you can't, is that we could literally go over hundreds of places in the Old Testament that speaks of Jesus. You know, we could take a year. We could just, it to do it in depth. We could just list it, which wouldn't do any good. But there's hundreds of places we could just talk about that in the Old Testament. And it says, it talks about Jesus. Now, however, we need to take the principle to look for Jesus in the pages. We should take that on ourselves. When we read it, we need to say, I'm going to look for Jesus in these pages. So that's the lesson for us there. Now, also, I'm going to bring this up, challenge you here, bring this up. We also need to remember, you know, the old, and I'm not going to mention names, you know who I'm talking about. Disregard the Old Testament. Put the Old Testament aside. It's not as important. See, which is absolutely demonic blasphemy. And I do not understand why people do not leave this guy's church in droves. I don't understand it. Understand it. Cannot understand it. If you read the scripture, I cannot understand it. So we need to understand that Jesus, need to remember that Jesus himself both talked about the literal existence of Adam and Eve, Noah and the ark, and Jonah being swallowed by a great whale, fish. Jesus quotes those. Well, I believe in Jesus, I don't believe in that. Then you're saying Jesus is a liar because he said it. Well, I believe everything he said except that. See, it doesn't work. It just does not work. It does not work. What's too hard to understand? Hey, I couldn't understand Pastor Lucian. Hey, God listens to me. How? You know. Want to elaborate? You know. See, there's a lot of things I don't understand, but I know who said them. I know who said them, right? So, and listen to this. We don't have time to go there. Adam and Eve, Noah and the ark, Jonah being swallowed by the great fish. Each of these are pictures of Jesus. All three of them are pictures of Jesus and also the accuracy of the Old Testament. Be fun. We'll go through them. Now, so here we have, and again, the point of, you got Jesus, you know, he presents himself, revelation of all things. Hallelujah, you know, and he goes, hey, Wallace, here's some revelation. You diligently study the scriptures, and they teach about me. Okay, now the whole context has changed with the scripture. Everything's changed. So, now Jesus has said this. He said this. He's having a pretty good audience. Okay, he's having a pretty good audience. Now Jesus rebukes the religious leaders who diligently studied the Old Testament and who should have known who he was. Now I look at that and I think, oh, these poor guys, they didn't know who he was, and you know, being awful hard of them. That's what I think, okay? But you know what Jesus thinks? He goes, you should have known. You should know who I am. These other folks, they don't know, you know, because they don't have the education you do. You should have known who I am. That's what he says. You should have known. Why? Because you diligently study the scriptures. You should have known. You should have recognized me. Now, the next verses, and these things, I don't know why I get tickled at this, but it's kind of like you... In my mind, we have this vision of Jesus. You know, we went in the chair, and he's got these little kids around him, and he's holding the lamb. You know, just that sweet. And we hang it, and we're all happy. And I think that's true. But there's another piece of this that nobody likes to read about. You know, and Jesus, he really blunt. Really blunt. He really told the truth and didn't pull any punches. He just told the truth, you know. It's kind of, excuse me for saying this, like Harry Truman. He says, you give people hell. He said, no, I don't know. Just tell them the truth and they think it's hell. He said, that's kind of what Jesus did. You know, I just give them the truth. They think it's not. I'm just telling them the truth. So this is what we see Jesus saying here. He's got the Pharisees. He's got the guy's in the position. He says this to him, and I don't have an overhead for this, but we're going to break it down after I go through it. So just listen closely. So he says to these religious leaders, that are questioning him, denying who he is. And he goes in John chapter 5, verses 45 through 47. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses. If you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But you do not believe his writings, so how will you believe my words? Now, what did he tell them? Well, you don't believe me, you don't believe Moses. The very scriptures you hold on to, the very scriptures you die for, you don't believe them. That's your problem. You do not believe Moses. And I can see the disciple, Jesus. He didn't say, Jesus, you really made them mad. That really upset them. Because nobody knows Moses better than they do. I said, no. The reason they don't believe me, because they didn't believe Moses. Now process that. So he's telling us something, and we don't want to be caught into something. It's like, I wish I knew. And you say, no, God's already told us. God's already told us. So let's look at these, and let's see what Jesus is telling us. Now, we see what he told the religious leaders. What is he telling us? You know, we can't solve all the world's problems, you know. And it's like Fran said, pray for Haiti. We can't go to Haiti. In fact, it's not a good place to go. And we'll pray for him. But you know what God did for Haiti? He put Pastor Lucien in Haiti. And he put a whole bunch of people in villages that don't have any money all through Haiti. He put them in Haiti. And right now, they're ministering. They're constantly ministering. The government's a mess. That's all right. God put his people in Haiti. There's people in Haiti right now. There's people in Haiti right now we don't know anything about. Okay, so we'll pray for Haiti, but what about us? What's God telling us? What's he telling me and you when he looks at this and we don't want to be caught as the Pharisees were caught? And again, the Pharisees, they take a lot of heat, but they were the religious group of the day. Religious group of the day. Okay, here's number one. Have an overhead. There's 3 points I have overheads for. Number one, we're going to break this verse apart. What is Jesus telling us? He says this. Number one, Jesus said he does not accuse us. Jesus, I don't accuse you of anything. I don't accuse you. Moses gave the law, and the law accuses us. See, we get accused. We didn't get accused, but we get accused by the law. Jesus, I didn't come here to accuse you. Moses accuses you. Now look, you're the religious. We study the law. We've memorized the law. And Jesus goes, yep, that accuses you. I don't accuse you. The law accuses you. You know, it's like, don't blame me. The law that you know and hold up, it accuses you. I don't accuse you. Now, see, the law reflects God's perfection. It says the law is good. It's a reflection of God. Problem is, we just can't keep it. You know, okay. The law reflects God's perfection and shows us, what does the law show us? And the law, this is God's perfection, and it shows us what? God shows us that we need a Savior. That's what the law does. That's what the law. I want to keep it. Have at it. See how that works for you. See how that works for you. You don't do it. Nobody else does it. And it convicts you. It condemns you. And it says, I need a Savior. That's the purpose of the law. Moses accuses you. Jesus says, I don't. With me? He said, he didn't. No, I can't. Save you. Moses condemned you. Moses condemned you. And we see this truth clarified in the New Testament. Y'all with me? Now, I hope I'm not just, you're with me. The law condemns us. shows us we need a Savior. So the New Testament elaborates on this and gives us a better view. Okay? Here's the New Testament elaborating on the law and giving us a better view. Listen, there's no overhead, but I'll just read it to you. It says in Romans 3:19 about the law. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be accountable to God. God gave us the law. So he says, shut up. That's me. It's like we come to God and we're right. He goes, shut up. No, I gave you the law to stop your mouth. You have nothing to offer. Hush. I gave this law to hold you accountable so you'll know your sin. And with the law and full understanding of the law, you go, I'm doomed. I need a Savior. Amen? You see what's happening? Old Testament, New Testament. Old Testament, New Testament. Now, so we have this and we think, gosh, the law accuses us and shows us how far we fall short of God. The law condemns. The law shows us we need a Savior. Need a Savior. When I read the Bible, sure, as you know, I got saved reading the Scriptures and didn't know anything. Which one good thing about knowing nothing is when you read the Bible, the first mention of it was the first time you ever saw it. Wow! You know, so it's the first time you, and so you don't have junk confusing you. Just read it. And so I didn't know anything. And I got saved in Romans chapter 3:25, but 3:23. And I remember as clear as this day. So I'm reading, I've got the whole Old Testament, and I'm looking for God. And so I'm seeing the information. I read the Gospels. I have the information about Jesus. And I read Acts about the church. I have the information. Then I go into Romans. And it comes in Romans. And it says, and I remember so clear. It's Romans 3:23. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I remember reading it. And I literally like, it's me. I mean, I wasn't going to argue that. I actually knew that before I read the Bible. But all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yep. Big amen to you, brother. Okay. But then what happened? In 25 it says, and God gave Jesus as an expiation for you. And I've told you this story before. I know what expiation. My crowd didn't use that word. None of them. I look up expiation. It means atonement. My crowd didn't use that word either. And I looked at another, and it uses propitiation. I said, it's impossible to ever understand what this verse means. I never heard of these three words. I thought, but they're really good words, and I have my Webster dictionary. I looked them up, and I'm thinking, what do these mean? Expiation, you know, it's like to pay one's penalty. Gave Jesus to pay one's penalty. And an atonement means like to cover over wrongdoing. Jesus cover over wrongdoing. Then propitiation means it means to pay the penalty and turn away the wrath of God. Okay. Jesus, all his sin falls short of the glory of God. Okay, we're in a bad spot here. And Jesus paid penalty. He covered it over. He paid him and he turned away the wrath of God. And I put it in there. I said, what? Jesus turned away the wrath of God. Jesus paid the penalty. And I swear, it's like he was a substitute for me. I'm forgiven. Okay? Never been to church. Never been to church. I'm forgiven. Death to life. And then the only Christian I knew was me. But you see, what did the Scriptures do? What did the scriptures? Somebody didn't know anything, didn't go. What? It told me about Jesus. Told me about Jesus. And then you read the rest of the New Testament, it's like, oh my gosh. You know, have a lot more to involve. So it just reinforces this, that how Jesus would have mercy on somebody like me and have total contempt for the religious leaders at his time. Not a nice thing to say about them. Never. You read the book and you missed me. You read the book and you missed me. And look at Wallace. You know, he read the book and he saw me. That's the difference. See? That's the difference. So that's the lesson. That's the lesson we have. We look at this. We need to look for Jesus. The truth of it comes through Jesus. And so with the law comes condemnation. And with condemnation comes what? We need a Savior. Do you see how they're both connected? They're both connected right there. So the condemnation has to come first. And then they need a Savior. And then what the Bible goes on and explains that. Now, let's continue this. Number two. Here's number two, the point. The point here. The law accuses, all right? The law accuses. Now, number two, Jesus said, if you believed Moses, you would believe me because he wrote of me. Now, think about that. Now, these are, they know this Old Testament. And he says, yeah, if you would have believed what Moses wrote, you would believe me. The problem, you don't believe me because you really don't believe what Moses wrote. Oh, don't you think those are fighting words? So this is what we stand on. You don't even believe it. You don't even believe it. Now, and he says, if you believe Moses, you would believe me because he, Moses, wrote about me. Right? Rhetorical. What did Moses write about? Jesus. See? They wrote about Jesus. He says, you don't believe Moses. It's not a problem. You don't believe Moses. And I can talk facetiously about my favorite person. Forget. No, the Old Testament's not that important. It just talks about Jesus. It just talks about Jesus. It's just not that important. And that's all they had was the Old Testament. See, when Jesus said these words to these people, that's all they had, the Old Testament. See? So you look at this. Look at this. And so he shows us Moses spoke to him. If you believe Moses, you believe me, right? Okay. You see me in the Old Testament. Moses. What did Moses write? Well, we'll just go back to one of Numbers 21:9. Moses wrote it. If you'd believe Moses, you'd know that serpent on a stick was me. It's me. Because Moses wrote it. And your problem is you don't believe what Moses said. I bet they knew the literature of what Moses said. I bet they knew the picture and the history, you know, and the dynamics of the people of what Moses said. But you just miss Jesus. And all they needed was Jesus. See? So, we have that example. Yet I'll just read the whole thing. This is how Jesus talks about the Old Testament. He's telling them, and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. So must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes him will have eternal life. That's what happened in Numbers 21:9. And I'm telling you now, and you didn't believe Moses, so you can't believe me. Jesus quoted this verse to them, and they didn't believe him. See, sometimes we try to convert people Jesus has rejected. See, that's incredible. Now, Oh, we continue on here. The problem with the religious leaders. What's the problem with the religious leaders? What was the problem with them? They didn't believe what? The Old Testament. That was their issue. Well, they didn't believe it. No, they didn't believe the Old Testament. That was their issue. Thus, they didn't believe Jesus. Okay, the third thing here. So we see the law accuses, and we also see that the Old Testament speaks of Jesus. Number three, it says this. This is all this one verse. I'm just breaking it apart here. Number three, Jesus said, if you do not believe Moses' writings, now pause, what are Moses' writings? Do we know what that is? It's the first five books of the Bible. Okay. Jews will tell you that's Moses' writing. And then you have the prophets and all the other stuff. And he says, if you did not believe Jesus' writings. I mean, you're talking about the first five books of the Bible. You can't get more Old Testament than the first five books of the Bible. I mean, you're Old Testament, you know, sent there. People say, well, how Moses wrote it? How did he write about creation? Guess. God told him, and he wrote it. See? That's how Moses knew. God told him. In the beginning, Moses, take this down. In the beginning. All right, Moses, okay, got you. So what this says, if you do not believe Moses' writings, how will you believe my words? Now think about this. I'm going to apply it to us. It's Adam and Eve. That's kind of far-fetched. How can you believe Jesus? You don't believe Moses. You know, this ark and the flood and all this nonsense. I don't know. I believe in Jesus, but, you know, I don't know. That can't happen. It just scientifically can't happen. You don't believe Jesus, so you can't. You don't believe Moses, so you can't believe Jesus. This whole thing about a man being swallowed by a whale and stuff, I just, you know, I can't buy it. Jesus is okay, but I can't buy into that. But you don't believe Moses. Well, actually, Jonah wrote that, not Moses. Don't want to give too much credit. That's later. But you don't believe the Old Testament, and you can't believe Jesus. Y'all see where I'm getting at? I mean, you take it all or you dump it all. And to be honest, dump the whole thing or take the whole thing. When I played high school football, we had a kid. He's a really good player. But he's just kind of nuts. You ever met one of those guys, really good player, but they're just kind of nuts, you know? And the coach guy, I'll never forget the coach guy. He said, listen, you have the potential of being best player on this team. Or you have the potential of being one of the worst examples to humanity in this school. You can be this or this. And I want you to do something. Pick one. Just don't try to do both of them. You're not doing anybody any favor. Pick one. It's up to you. You know, I kind of like that thinking. You want to be a jerk? Good. Go for it. Be the best jerk. You know? You want to be a good ball player or whatever? Go for it. Be the best one. But don't be both of them. Choose. I think about the Bible. Well, I don't believe. No, dump the whole thing. Take the whole thing or dump. Be honest. Well, I don't believe this, but I believe Jesus. Well, if you don't believe that, you call Jesus a liar. Stop it. Dump it. Don't pretend. Dump it. We'll still have potluck with you, but dump it. You see what I'm saying? You want to be? Then buy the whole thing. The whole thing. All right? So, it's kind of what we see Jesus is here. He said, if you do not believe Moses is right, how can you believe my words? Oh, yeah, man, Jesus, you're looking good, and I think so, but, you know, Moses wrote all about that ark stuff, and I don't know if I'm getting this. You can't believe me then. You can't believe that. You can't believe me. Now, you know, we can half-heartedly do whatever, but God's saying, you know, we can be lukewarm at anything, you know. And you know what God said about the believers in Revelations about being lukewarm? He said, you believers, you're hanging out. You know, you're going to all the potlucks and everything. You're hanging out, but you're lukewarm. And the literal word is, you make me want to vomit. Lukewarm. You make me want to vomit. You know what Jesus said? Be in or be out. Be in or be out. But lukewarm makes me want to vomit. And I think that's always our choice. That's our choice. We need to look at that. Now, put it another way, if you do not believe the Old Testament, how can you truly believe the words of Christ or believe that he is the Messiah? How can you really believe it when you don't believe the Old Testament? So what we have here is Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world. Moses is the accuser. Moses also was a witness to Jesus, our Savior. Thus, Jesus said, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. There it is. You know, how many of you go, well, I don't know, I don't. You look warm. Somebody burning on fire has no problem with this. Lukewarm people have a problem with this. People that are cold have nothing to do with it. See? So be on fire. Be on fire. You don't have a problem believing this if you're on fire. Only lukewarm people have a problem with this. Now it goes on. Now we have an example here which I think is quite interesting right at the beginning that confirms this whole dynamic, and it's in John, I don't have an overhead here, but in John chapter 1, verse 45, and it's Philip. It's when Philip, God calls Philip, and then Philip goes call Nathanael. And it's fascinating what Philip said. I mean, this is chapter 1. It is fascinating what Philip says, because he wasn't a Pharisee. He was not a Pharisee. And it says this. Philip went to Nathanael, and he tells Nathanael, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Philip, Nathanael, we saw the one that Moses wrote about. Pharisees didn't miss it. They diligently studied the scripture, and they missed it. Philip said, no, this is the one Moses wrote about. He knew Moses wrote about, and he believed Moses. He believed Moses. And he said, Moses and the prophets. Philip said that in chapter 1. Now, have an overhead for this. Now, when Jesus sees the disciples after the resurrection, he just confirms this. It confirms the whole thing. Have this overhead. Look at Luke 24:44. So Jesus appears to the disciples. Okay, guys, everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Must be fulfilled. When, you remember when they were going to take Jesus to be crucified, and they, you can't go, the disciples, you can't do this, stop, you know. And he goes, and that's when Peter cut off the Malchus's ear, you know, and Jesus had to heal the ear, you know, just to, and Jesus goes, don't you know, I could call 12 legions of angels, take these guys out. Did you know that? But the scriptures must be fulfilled that were written about me. Where? In the Old Testament. See? So we see the commitment from Jesus and the disciples going, listen, you're misinterpreting the Old Testament, Jesus. There's no good going to come out of this. You know. In fact, that's really what they said, basically. Now, so Jesus comes back to them and he reinforces what? I just want to read again. Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and so must be fulfilled. And then something beautiful happened. I'm going to read. It won't happen over here. It's something just really beautiful, and we should take this to note. And then Jesus did something in verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the Old Testament. I just get, how important is the Old Testament? Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of things I don't understand about it, but I don't question. And it's all true. I don't question the Lord's book. I don't question any of that. Any of that. And see, Jesus in all of this. And Jesus in all of this. Scripture is not dead letters on a page. The scriptures, both Old Testament and New, are alive, proclaiming Jesus. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, if we believe it." If we believe it. Pharisees didn't believe it. Well, they knew a bunch of it. Okay, I didn't say know a bunch of it. I said believe it. That's what Jesus was saying. Now, some personal encouragements here. If we cannot understand and believe what the Old Testament says about Jesus, how then can we ever be able to fully believe what Jesus did and spoke? Are we fooling ourselves? Are we just fooling? Oh, yeah, I believe Jesus is that Old Testament stuff. You don't believe it. Not sold out for it. Not so far out for it. Really, when you believe that way, there's always a question. There's always a doubt. I don't know about this Noah and Ark. So I don't know about this. I don't know about this Jonah stuff. And even though Jesus said, then you can't believe Jesus. Now, oh, I believe you. No, there's always a doubt. There's always a tick that you can't quite totally buy into it. You can lead a Bible study. You can memorize scripture. But there's a little piece you just totally can't buy into the whole thing if you discount the things in the Old Testament about Jesus. You cannot believe. I personally believe that in order to understand the full magnitude of who Jesus is, we need to look for him in the Old Testament. Your doubts in the Old Testament, you better settle those before Jesus. You got blinders on? Let him lift the blinders. Let him tell you. Let him tell you. Because he is telling you something. Knowing the ark, I'd love to go over that. Well, let's go over about how you got the animals there. How you got... Wait a minute. No. In another message for another hour, the ark is a picture of Christ. That's the first thing. And when we see it's a picture of Christ, you ain't worried about the animals. Ain't no doubt he got there. Ain't no doubt they got there. But this is a picture of Christ. Anyway, you can go on and on like that. Now, so here is a challenge I have you for you. This is a challenge, okay? I want you to think about this. And this is really helpful. This is really helpful to, and you can make this fun, not like a tedious, like, oh, okay. You can make this fun, but you need to do it. I can. You know, I don't want to be like Jesus and just irritate people, but he had stuff to back it up with. But listen, if you want to step on the fullness of Christ, you got to read the Bible. You got to. If you just, I'm going to share you something. If you just listen to me share it, I'm telling you what that is. That's hearsay. That's hearsay. At the very least, you should be going, well, I don't know what he said about this. You know, that's good. That's good. You know, and I'm always good. You say, Wallace, look at here. This is what it says to me. I said, good, go read it. Whatever the Lord's telling you, I'm happy what he's telling you. I just gave you my best shot. See, what I'm saying, you got to read the Bible. The Bible speaks of him. I love Jesus. Well, the Bible speaks of him. If you loved him, you'd read the Bible. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to put it. I don't care what your excuse is. I don't care what your excuse is. Love Jesus, you read the Bible. If you seek Jesus, you read the Bible. And you see Jesus. Okay? Now here's my challenge I want you to do. I'd like you to do. Interpret the Old Testament based on New Testament revelation. Okay? Read the Old Testament and interpret the Old Testament based on New Testament revelation. You know what I mean? Old Testament, bronze snake. New Testament, Jesus. Old Testament, bronze snake. Who was the bronze snake in the Old Testament? Somebody shouted. Yeah. Oh my God, that's Jesus. They just stuck him up on this thing. That's Jesus. And they looked at everybody and say, what is he a snake for? That's like Satan. He became sin like a snake. He took it all. Oh my God, all of a sudden it's like the magnitude of what Jesus did. You see what I'm saying? Oh yeah, he died for me. And I remember that Sunday school class. I recited this verse and Sunday school teacher anointed me with water. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? No, you look in the Old Testament. Oh my God. Now he gave that to us. Jesus interpreted it for us. Okay, that's him. That's not me. That's him. Okay. So here's it. When you read the New Testament, interpret the Old Testament based on New Testament revelation. Because we're getting the full information in New Testament. It's fulfilled, fulfilled, fulfilled. Now, listen to me here. This means there's any place. Now, all you need, by the way, all you need to do this is a reference Bible. Just a reference Bible. You know. And all y'all know, I don't. All y'all know our reference Bible is. Right? You get a reference Bible, and you see all those little letters like A, B, C, D. You know, you see that's a reference Bible. And you look up, oh, there's A. And so you open and you say, oh, A goes back to Exodus. See, it referenced the Old Testament. So that's what those little letters are for in a reference Bible. So all you need is a reference Bible. You do. So this is, so what you have when you're interpreting Old Testament verse, this is any place in the New Testament that uses the word fulfilled. Y'all with me? You read the New Testament, say da-da-da-da-da, and this fulfills. What? This Old Testament verse. It tells you. He did this, this, that, it fulfills it. So you take where it says fulfilled, and it'll tell you the Old Testament verse. Go back to the Old Testament verse. See what the New Testament says. Well, this is what the New Testament says. Take that meaning and go back to the Old Testament and put that very same meaning in the Old Testament. You with me? You do. And it's like, oh my God. Again, Jesus dies on the cross. Numbers 21:9. That's Jesus. You take Jesus back. Is it a snake? How could Jesus be a snake? What's going on? Jesus, you messed up on your reference. No, he's dead on his reference. Because that Jesus like did become a snake. He became every sin we have that's depicted in a snake. See, do you see what I'm saying? Do that every time you come across the word fulfilled. Take the Jesus meaning and go back to the Old Testament and stick the Jesus meaning in there. Now, so what you have are, and the other thing, where it says fulfilled, or any time you'll have it, sometimes they'll just read the New Testament, they'll just quote an Old Testament verse. It says, this is what we did, and quotes the Old Testament verse. Okay, take that Old Testament verse, go back to the Old Testament, take the meaning in the New Testament, and go back and put that meaning in the Old Testament. Put that meaning that you get in the New Testament. Now, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen when you do that. This is what's going to happen. When you take that New Testament meaning and you put it in the Old Testament verse, you're going to go, that doesn't fit. That's the first thing you're going to do. Say, that doesn't fit. I don't know what you're talking about in the New Testament. It doesn't fit. The example, he puts a snake on the thing and he says, that's Jesus. It doesn't fit. That doesn't fit. Every place, almost every place you see where it references New Testament, says this means this verse. This means fulfilled. Okay, this one. And you put in the Old Testament and you go, that doesn't fit. It does fit. You just don't understand it. You don't understand it. And if you look and you meditate and you see, and I'll use a snake. God, how could Jesus be a snake? That doesn't fit. Doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that? You must have made a mistake. That I don't understand what it means. And we make up stuff. And then one day you're reading 2 Corinthians 5:21 says Jesus became sin. Oh my God, that's that snake. That's that snake in Numbers 21. That's that snake. It fits. After you think about it. Almost every New Testament taken method does the same thing. You'll go, it doesn't fit. And the fact of it is, it does fit. And the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you something, and you can't understand it. And so God, speak to me, show me. And then he shows you, and then you see like a revelation. Oh, Lord, above. Lord, above. You see what I'm saying? So this is important. I mean, if you want to do it, you don't have to do it. But I'm just telling you, it's unbelievable, but it will enhance your view of the Scriptures and empower you in such a way to make this picture. You will not believe what comes out of the Scripture. One keeps coming to my mind, so I'm going to say it because it keeps coming to my mind, you know. And I think it's Matthew 2:5, and it says that, and it says when they're going to kill Jesus and Joseph and Mary flee to Egypt. Okay, you remember that? So they flee to Egypt when Jesus is the baby. And it says this. This is to fulfill. Hosea 11:1. Out of Egypt I called my son. It don't fit. It don't fit. And so you look at that. Look at that. And actually, it's two references there. And so it's like, and then in Exodus, it says, it fulfills out of Egypt, I call my son. You go, what does that mean? Who's he calling his son? Jesus is his son. Who came out of Egypt? Israel. What are you saying? I'm saying, when I reached out and I pulled out all of Israel, they represented me and who I was. And to me, they were a son unto me, in which the son comes out of Israel. And I'll protect them till he comes. Holy to moly. That's not what that said. But yes, it does. When you interpret the, when out of Egypt, I call my son. In the loins of men, of the women, wombs of the women, came Jesus came out of Israel. It's prophesied in Exodus. And then in Hosea 1:1, it says, I will call out my son, just like in Exodus, I'll call out my son from Egypt. And it's a quotation, they're going to Egypt, and I'll call out my son. And so it's like the whole picture of Israel and everything and who they are, it's Jesus and the whole framework of Israel in which Jesus came to preach with us. God orchestrated all of that to have Jesus at this time. And again, where did he call his son out of? Egypt. Where was Jesus going? Mary, Jesus going? Egypt. So he called Jesus out of Egypt. And he told you in Exodus, I'm calling him out of Egypt. Okay. If you want to look at it, it's, and you know what, Jesus, by the way, before you not want to look at it, Jesus looked at the Pharisees, you missed the whole thing. Because it talks about me. You talk about the wrong things. It talks about me. And Jesus was so kind and sweet to everyone and unmerciful to the Pharisees. Unmerciful. This reminds me of a verse that says, not many of you should desire to be teachers because you have a higher condemnation. And when I read that, I think, God, I can think some people, I'd like to trade my gift with them, maybe. Give me the gift of hospitality. They'll be happy and I'll be happy, you know, stuff like that. Now, but do you see what I'm saying here? Amen? Now, why am I saying all of this? the Scripture, the Old Testament, and again, Jesus is talking about the Old Testament. There's no New Testament. He's talking about the Old Testament. You know, we need to read it to know what Jesus... People... I'm getting off, I'm way off. R.T. Kendall. How many of you know R.T. Kendall? I think he's a great guy. He says something, and I don't doubt it. I just was upset when he said it. And he said he has a ministry to charismatics, you know, that God wanted so he could teach them and stuff. And I think, you know, that's great. That's what God called it. He said with his words, quote him, don't get mad at me, and he says almost to the person of the pastors and prophets in the charismatic movement, do not read their Bible. Oh, I got a word for you. Well, brother, you better be reading the word before you give me a word. Before you give me a word, you need to be reading the word. You see what I'm saying? So anyway, the whole point is read the word. And Jesus says, if you believe the Old Testament, you believe me. Flip. Don't believe the Old Testament. You really can't believe me. You just can't buy in 100%. You're like 60% there, but you just can't buy in 100%. Now, I'm going to leave you some homework, all right? Here's some homework. Anybody write down, you got your phones down, because you're not going to remember this. You know, maybe you remember it. I wouldn't remember this, all right? Here's the homework. I want you to read 2 Corinthians. We have an overhead for the homework. I want you to read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1 through 4. And I want you to look at this and write down and just understand the New Testament meaning, okay? Just understand the New Testament meaning, all right? 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4. Just say, here's what the New Testament is saying. Here's the meaning of it. Kind of settle it in your mind. Then second, I want you to go back to the Old Testament reference and put the New Testament meaning in the Old Testament reference. Okay? That's what those little letters are above it says. You know, okay, go back, and then you go back to the Old Testament and you put that New Testament meaning in that Old Testament verse. Okay? And Sunday, I'm going to ask for a raise of hands who did it. All right? I'm going to ask you who did that. I'm going to say, all right, what do you tell me? Have people just pass the mic. What did God tell you? You know? I'm not even joking. I think about it. That's what I'm going to do then. I want you to read that verse and just see what the New Testament's saying. Then go to the Old Testament and put that meaning in the Old Testament and see what Jesus tells you. Okay? All right, then it's appropriate right now. We're going to close and look for Jesus. We're going to close this Old Testament verse and look for Jesus. Psalms 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for your word that you are our teacher. Lord, we just give thanks to you. You show us things we never otherwise would know. And so, Lord, we just praise you. And I do pray, God, that we would just have such a love for your word and the inerrancy and the truth that it presents you. And it presents you like no one else can even comprehend that, God, you're taking your words and presenting to us who Jesus is and what he's done. Pray you open our minds, open our hearts, that we can see the wonderful things in your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.